Exodus chapter 34, if you would, this morning. Tommy and Matthias, go. Go. All right, go. Go down there and see Mr. Josh. He'll help you out a lot. All right. Well, Brother Scott, are you still having to deal with the interesting people from the other side of the earth?
Yeah.
Bless your heart. I'm glad to see you, buddy. Thank you for being here. Y'all, thank you. Miss Karis, I know your back's not the best, so thank you. If you need a pillow or a better place to sit, I'll get whatever. You want a recliner? I'll get us a recliner. Would a recliner be good? We'll put you right over there. All right. That's the kind of, yeah. Well, you know, we got some new furniture. The Lord blessed, and well, no, just listen to me. We got some new furniture, though, and I'm really thankful for it. There's two things that I don't like about it. It's slow. And then number two, it doesn't lift you completely out. You know, so anyway, Lord's been good. If you would, though, if you're at Exodus 34, we'll get in the Word and go from there. Brother Scott, I'm going to try to clean up the basement some in the next couple weeks. I will try to keep the good stuff and throw out the bad stuff. So if there's anything down there you think I don't know is good, you might want to put it in a box, all right? Otherwise, actually, I know what's good and not good. I don't think we need any extra wire for pigtails, do we? Or extra wire for David. I think David's got enough, and I got a box over at the house of wire if we need it. You know what I mean. Any excess? If anything's less than a foot, throw it out.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Not a problem. I think we can handle that. We're going to take the shed down. Kenny's in charge of that. Flowers, Miss Bensie could use some help.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to give you Caden and have you bust him and get him to working, because I know you can do that.
Yeah.
Whenever I give – Kenny and I were just talking about the shed, and I said, now, Kenny, we've had our discussion. I'm not going to look over your shoulder. I'm a delegator on things like that, and I'll be out of your way. If I can be a help to you, I will. Brother Scott says the best way for you to help, go find something else to do. Brother Scott, you know, I want to say this. He is all y'all. Oh, did y'all understand that? All y'all are industrious people, and I appreciate that. In a lot of churches, you have people that like to sit on their hands and they want to sit back with a cup of coffee in their hand and not do. And I don't mind having a chair and a cup of coffee out by the flowers or water or whatever you got. And sit a minute, work a minute. Sit a minute, work a minute. Miss Catherine, that's the way we country folk do, isn't it? Oh, praise the Lord. Her little place is so nice, so nice. Exodus 34 and verse 10. Ah, one more thing. Pray for President Trump. He has got the whole world against him.
Yes, he does.
And my opinion is he's doing exactly what we ought to be doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly what we ought to be doing. What the American people don't realize, he's going to make us better.
Yeah.
So the politician will either make the people better or themselves better.
Yeah.
And I think that all the politicians ought to be audited. There's no way that Nancy Pelosi can be worth $240 million. And what I've never understood, if they're such big-hearted people, why do we have so much homeless? Now, I realize in the homeless community, there's a great deal of it, and I don't know what the percentage is, that just want to be homeless. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, if you want that, I can't help you. I can feed you. You know, the rescue mission does a great job, and there's other missions that do a really good job. I know in Indianapolis, there's quite a few missions now that just amazing of what they're doing. Indianapolis is a beautiful city.
Yes.
Grand Rapids, for the most part,
yes,
is a beautiful. Why? Because God's people are doing the work.
Right.
If God's people aren't doing the work, it's nasty. Look at our streets here in Lansing.
No.
That tells me right away what's important to them. And it's not the people.
No.
Okay? And I guarantee if Governor Whitmer had to ride on some of these roads, and if she had to get through some of this traffic that we have to deal with, they'd have had a lot better plan. And by the way, it was Governor Snyder that got all this on the books and got the money for it, not Governor Whitmer. I don't know. There are some politicians that are in the office, and there's others that aren't. And I think that's what we're doing. Pray for President Trump. Pray for the cabinet members. There are judges that are stepping outside of their job description and politically charged. And then there's some other judges now that are actually fighting against them, and they're striking down. Sooner or later, John Roberts is going to have to show himself to be a man rather than the mouse that he is. And just the other day, the Senate voted to strike down the tariffs to hold them back because they want to do something different. So three Republicans went over to vote for that. Those people there ought to be primaried and kicked out. We don't need people in there. But again, remember this, God's plan's important. And God's got to wind this thing up in such a way that then the rapture and then the great tribulation comes about. But you got to take care of what you take care of. You take care of the ministries that God's put you as a part of. If your back is out and you're laying flat, you just pray. Take a nap. Pray some more. Right, Karis?
Take some more ibuprofen.
Take you some more ibuprofen. Look at verse 10 here in chapter 34. And he said, "Behold, I make a covenant before all thy people. I will do marvels." Now, last week we looked at that idea of the marvels that he's done and is doing and will do. I think the greatest marvel in the future for me, yes, is the rapture of the church. Get a new body. We've already got a new home. But the marvel that I have is when we come back on horseback and without firing a gun or a missile, the Lord Jesus will win the battle just with his word. And that to me, I get to be on his side to watch that happen. You know, that's why we have victory in Jesus. It's just there. We always have victory. So he says here, and he said, "Behold, I make a covenant before all thy people. I will do marvels, such as have not been done in all the earth." Now, I would say this, that God has fulfilled that promise, is fulfilling that promise, and will fulfill that promise. He's not out of marvels. He's not out of power. He's not out of wisdom. He doesn't have to take a nap. He doesn't have to take a nap to get ready for bed. Amen? He doesn't have to take a nap after breakfast. He doesn't have to take a nap after dinner, or in some people's world, lunch. God never has to nap. And so I'm thankful for that. So he mentions here, "I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation, and all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord. For it is a terrible thing that I will do with these. Observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out." Now look at this idea. "I drive out before thee the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite." Drive out. Remember that this morning. "And take heed to thyself." Don't go correcting everybody else when you're not correcting yourself. Well, and this is just personal. If you've said this to me, just know that I've shown you mercy. Don't overdo it. Don't do too much. Anybody in here said that yet to me?
I have said, "Be careful."
Yes. Be careful.
Did I? Yeah.
Leave me alone. You need correcting too. Except for Miss Jamie. She's the only perfect one. Okay, maybe Bency and Catherine and Karis are perfect. No, the point is, take care of the beam in your eye before you take care of the speck in everybody else's. "Well, you know, I've told them and they just won't listen." I've said that many a time. And it's like, I just stopped saying it. And I've gotten rough here with a couple people. "Hey, look, I've been your brother and I'm your friend. But this is your pastor talking. You're dragging your feet. Stop dragging your feet and get it done. Be industrious. Get it done. Get done what you can get done. Yeah. Miss Karis, I'm not going to ask you to come help me tear down a shed. Mm-mm. But I am going to ask you to pray. We'll get wore out praying." I had a mom say to me on the phone this week, she said, I'm tired of praying. I said, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And she was talking some other things, and I get prayers in. I said, Well, you haven't said anything. I said, well, you haven't stopped talking yet. And the first thing out of my mouth was, been there, done that. You get so frustrated with God. And the reason is because you can't control God. We are in day 38 after surgery. Is that right, babe? Let's see, 6 days plus 31 is 37. Yep. 38th day. And I haven't got past. And Brother Scott, it's been a year. Has it been a year now with your heart? 17th will be a year. And even after a year, whatever you have happened in your life, you know, it just takes time for our bodies, especially as we've gotten older. And things just take time and this and that. Yesterday, I was going to go hit golf balls with Micah at Grand Ledge, and I set up a simulator for him, and I didn't take any clubs with me. I thought, you know, I'll just hit Micah's clubs. I can do that. That's not a problem. And I took 3 golf balls with me, and we could hit on simulator. And I said, Micah, I ain't doing it today. I had my driver in my hand, and I was going to take it with me. I said, no. But I did go out and see some of the golf course. The beauty of being outdoors is amazing. I don't care if it's a golf course or if it's Myers, the flower gardens. I'd like to go walk that this year one time. That'd be beautiful. I love Myers, what they did with that flower garden over there. Our flower garden. But I told Mike, I said, no, I'm not going to. Then I had him do some things, and kind of teaching and working with him. And I said, I'm going to hit your pitch and wedge. So I hit 7 pitch and wedge shots. I warmed up with a couple. I was feeling really good. And then I said, I'm going to hit a straight ball. So I hit a straight ball, 115 yards. I wasn't swinging very hard. My pitch and wedge is usually about 130 yards carry. So I hit 115. You say, well, that's not much shorter. Well, it is in power. It is. And so first two look really good. Third one was off to the right. It's like, oh, I left my club head open. Doggone it. And that has a lot to do with your wrists and so forth. And I'm learning how to use this left knee. And that's been a real joy. But I took the next 3 shots and hit them straight. And boy, I put them within 15 and 20 foot at 115 yards. It's really good. I mean, I know my swing is good. Learning to weight transfer and other things on this new knee is interesting. But then I said, you know what? I'm going to hit a draw. So a draw is a right-to-left shot. So I hit a nice little right-to-left shot, and I was about 30 feet from the pin. I'm going to hit a fade. A fade's just a right-to-left. It has more spin. That's what you really want to hit to the greens. So the ball's got backspin on it. It hits, and it stops. Oh, okay. What shot number is this, Micah? He says, this is number 7. I said, all right, I'm done. That's all I did. You do what you can do. You back off. You think about those things. And I bring these up because there's one thing in this passage that we cannot do. So if you notice, he said, drive it out. You can't do that. You cannot drive out the enemy. You can't. So why do we try? Verse number 12, take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest. And we'll do that a lot of times. We're just like our kids. We find that line and we get right up to it. And lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. This is why I've not taken any government money for the Taekwondo. The homeschoolers have some monies. I knew a school down in Benton Harbor. Benton Harbor, right, babe? Grandmaster Eisenhart? I think so, Benton Harbor or something down in there. And they were taking some government funds. And I said to him, I said, well, what are the restrictions? He said, well, you can't have a church service. I said, nope, don't want it. Because every time we meet, we have a church service. Whether it be 10-minute service or an hour and a half, you know, when Karis is snoring back there type of service. It's just not worth it. A few years ago, I had gotten to know Mayor Bonero. You know, outside of politics, he's a good guy. A little rough around the vocabulary. Of course, I don't believe he's saved. But I know one thing, he's got having gospel give to him a few times because he's asked about it. One of his brothers, it was a brother or something. We were talking about it. He'd maybe just passed away or something or was sick or something. And yeah, you know, he become a good friend. Well, he had talked about making this a historical marker. But if we did, then we couldn't change anything in here. There'd be very little that we could change. We can update things, but I was thinking, well, man, that could be some, because that would be an income from the city and from the state. But why make it a historical marker? Do you realize where we're sitting right now? They were meeting here in the 1870s and 1880s. The root cellar is early 1880s. Where we're sitting in right now, they completed in 1929. I mean, this church is amazing, and most people don't know that. This is one of the oldest churches in the city of Lansing. It's amazing, the history here. There's just some things worth it and some things that are not worth it. You can't make a covenant with the wicked. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Yoking together. Now, what I mean by that is I have a couple friends that want me to help them with businesses, but they're not saved. So I can help them, but I'm not signing on. Not going to do it. Because they might use practices that are not according to Scripture. Verse 13, but ye shall destroy their altars. Now watch this. Even this verse you can't do. You shall destroy their altars and break their images and cut down their groves. And this is what God is saying. This is what you need to do. You need to have this type of mindset. There is a mindset to Christianity that's missing. I'm going to serve the Lord Jesus no matter what. We say that until it costs us something. And when we get up to that point where it costs, I got to back off. That's what happens in Christianity. I've seen people do that. We had a family offer us $2,500. We were doing some electrical over at the church. And $2,500 they were going to put in the kitty as we was putting it together. And they got mad at me because I preached so much on eternal security. And they came to me. Well, they called me, I think, Jamie, didn't they? I seen him Friday or Thursday at Sam's Club. I said, hey, how you doing? They turned around, went the other way. But this family said, well, we're leaving the church and we're not giving you that money. Wait a minute, you just told God you were going to. Let your nay be your nay and your yay be yay, correct? Now, I pray for God's mercy on them. But that is a lot of the Amorite, Canaanite, Hittite, and whatnot. And we've all had people say, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this, and they never do it. I've been talking about this shed, Brother Scott, getting it taken down. And I know you and I talked a little bit about it. And I've had a whole bunch of people tell me, you ought to do it this way and you ought to do it that way. Never seen them show up to do it. If you're not going to show up to do it, shut up. Leave me alone. And then they'll be the ones that will be halfway through the job and they'll show up and say, you know, you should have done this. I'm going to tell you, shut up. Go on, get. Brother Scott, he'll say, I need this and this. Okay. And then he gets it done. If I ask Miss Jamie, she gets it. Bensie gets it done. Karis gets it done. Catherine, that's who we are. We get it done. I'm not going to just tell you how to do it. I'm just going to go do it. And Brother Scott again will say, Pastor, the best way for you to help me is to find somewhere else to be. Am I right? Oh, and take your duct tape with you. And keep the... So I'm building up here, okay? Are you all listening? But he says in 13, you shall destroy these altars. Yeah. Karis, if I give you a sledgehammer today, could you go tear up a big old altar? No. God tells us the mindset we ought to have. And this is one of the things I've been dealing with. I got people all the time. Well, hey, what have you done to lose the weight? What have you done to get back in shape? What have you done? What have you done? And I tell them. I had one individual, well, I can't do that. Well, and when you're ready, come back and see me because I ain't wasting my time or my breath with you. I know what it takes. And it takes some hard decisions. I want you to know I did not get any candy, cookies, or Little Debbie cakes at Sam's Club yesterday. Because my boss wouldn't let me. Then I got a craving for Reese's Pieces. Don't anybody buy any for me. I got a craving for some Reese's Pieces because we were sitting there watching Star Wars with Matthias and Tommy. And, if you're watching, you want to throw me away for watching Star Wars, fine. I don't care. Anyway, I was like, man. So, babe, you want to run to Dollar Store? My knee's kind of sore, sitting in my chair. And then she says, well, you go get them. I don't want to go get them. I'll give Tommy and Matthias the keys of the truck. Y'all go down there and get them. Yeah, that'd be good. We have to make tough decisions sometimes. You got to have that mindset. If talking about the job's all you're going to do, talking about getting rid of sin, if talking about doing right, and talking about reading the Bible more, and talking about praying more, if that's all you do is talk, you never get it done. So just close your mouth and go get it done. Well, where do I start? It doesn't matter, just start. With that, let me give you some pastoral wisdom. Two things. And Miss Jamie is getting preached at right now. Anyway, no, I'm just kidding. Fold the towels right. I'm just kidding. That's not two of them. One, if you're doing your laundry, put the mates to the socks together in one load. Number two, if you want to set the socks aside, that's fine. But at some point, you got to do the socks, or in my wife's case, just throw them at me. What is it about folding socks we have trouble with? And if we have trouble folding socks or towels, the little things have got to be done. Like somebody shutting drawers on cabinets. I would never mention Scott's name on that, not in public. But I know Brother Scott, and Brother Scott cleans up after himself, so I'm kidding when I say this. But I always go behind him. Why? He's like me. We got so much to do, and we all are like this. Maybe we forget to do this, or we forget to put that away, or we forget this and that. And to help one another is a blessing. But you got to have a mindset that says, I'm going to get this done. If all you're going to do is talk about it and tell me how to do it and not show up to do it, just go on down the road. That just doesn't work. You got to have a mindset to destroy the things that ought not be in our life. Verse 14, for thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice, and thou shalt take of their daughters unto their sons, and their daughters go a whoring after their gods, and make thy sons' God a whoring after their gods. Thou shalt make thee no molten gods. This morning, God removes sin. God will remove the bad habit. I would not like to talk about your bad habit, so I'll talk about my bad habit. Well, I'm not talking about those bad habits. I don't mind clutter, lived in clutter. My mom's best friend in the world is gone now. Evelyn was a sweetheart. Evelyn, when we walked through her trailer, well, when she passed, she had a heart attack or a stroke, and the EMS had to move boxes to get the door to open. No place to sit, and she's laying in there. She was an extreme hoarder. There's nothing wrong with lived-in clutter, but there are some things that just ought not happen in our world. And I'm going to tell you now, if you're a little messy, that's fine. I know where everything's at on my desk. Karis looks at it and says, what are you doing? And I said, I know exactly. I've got a martial art part. I got a music part. I got my Bibles. I've got special papers and stuff I need to take care of. And then I have folks give me things, like little cards that the kids do, and they draw up and stuff. Or I get these puppy dog cards from this certain woman in the church. I'd never name names, Karis Ashton. And I love my puppy dogs, so I keep them and have them out. I've had flowers give to me, so we put them in a nice vase and whatnot. That's been a real thrill to my heart, the flowers. They're beautiful. We all have those struggles, but you got to have a mindset that says, I'm going to glorify the Lord Jesus. I'm going to serve God and love God with no matter what. And this passage, in removing things from our life, destroying the altars and removing them, getting rid of sin and its lusts is God's work. He mentions these idols just over here at the Mexican restaurant. I mentioned it Wednesday night. They have a grove built back there. It is a Catholic grove. But what it is, it's the mother-son religion that goes all the way back to Semiramis as Nimrod was killed. And Nimrod was probably the man after the flood that was so important. So you have Noah before the flood, a godly man, and then his grandson, Nimrod, an ungodly man. If you see N-I-N, it's called Nin. That was a god of Babylon. And that's the Catholic Church, and 99% of its ritual and its idols are built off the Babylonian system. The best book on that is The Two Babylons by a man named Hislop, H-I-S-L-O-P. And he goes into great detail. These crosses with the circles at the top, that is a Tammuz. Tammuz is the son of Semiramis and Horus, the god, Isis, and it is also part of the Egyptian Trinity. If you look at the history behind it, you will find it's all built on idolatry. Human sacrifice, orgies, the sexual sins of that nature. And we have that Mexican store, they have a grove back there. They have a little place with two candles on it. And down at the bottom, they have a baby. It is Jeremiah's definition of Mary, or the Queen of Heaven in Jeremiah. That's why so many worship Mary. I'm not going to worship Mary. She was blessed among women. She wasn't blessed above women. God used her as the vessel to bring the Lord Jesus in. And the Holy Spirit planted the seed in her. Not like a man plants a seed in his wife for children. That's procreation on an earthly level. That's different. Mary had never been touched by a man. Therefore, as a virgin, sin did not go through to that seed planted, who is the Lord Jesus. I am a sinner because of my dad's seed. That's where I'm a sinner. That's where you're a sinner. So there's a grove that's been built back there. And I got pictures of it, and I blew it up, and I did some research on it. And it comes from the old Aztecs, which filtered into Mexico. And it's actually a North Mexican Indian altar. I want to do some more research in it because I noticed there's some leaves to it, and there's some, I don't know if it's a pomegranate, but there's some kind of a fruit that's there. And they all go back to the fruit of Adam and Eve. Does anybody know in here what Adam and Eve ate in order to, the fruit of the tree of good and evil? Nope. There are some good men of God that speculate that it was a pomegranate because in that area, the Fertile Crescent, Mesopotamia, where Abraham came from, is northern or southern Iraq and Kuwait. Many men believe that right there in the Persian Gulf and the Kuwait and all that would have been the bed of the Garden of Eden. But we don't know how. You look at those four rivers that go around it. It's humongous. Huge. So with that in mind, we don't know these things. God has done these things for us to understand. We cannot remove them on our own. Our flesh loves it. God wants us to remove sin's lusts. When he mentions about getting rid of there in verse number 34, destroying their altars, breaking their images, and cutting down their groves. Many people have gotten mad at me because of the angels you have in your home. Oh, those are such beautiful crafts. How many of those angels have got wings and are females? Whenever you look through Scripture, there's only seven angels mentioned that have wings to them, and those are cherubim. Satan is one of them. Lucifer is shown in Ezekiel how he was built with a musical instrument in his chest, and he's the most beautiful. The Bible mentions that Lucifer is the most beautiful of God of all of God's creation. Then the rest of the angels you see in Scripture are men who are servants of God, bring a message. There's only one archangel mentioned in Scripture.
No, there's Gabriel.
No, Gabriel's not an archangel. Michael is. So we have some things in our homes that can be altars. Hey, your TV can be an altar. And by the way, if you have a TV, praise the Lord. I got some people that, oh, if you have a TV in your home, well, you're wicked. Oh, I'm sorry, you call those monitors. Anyway, point is, God knows that we must allow Him to do the work. There is no removing of anything unless we allow God to. So the whole point this morning, and I'm going to go a few minutes over, but God removes sin. God destroys the altars. We got to have the mindset to it. We get in a way, God's not going to remove it. Let's go to John 8:32. How? How do I see God work? How do I see God remove this out of Exodus 34? How? Well, in the New Testament, we have these ideas that are given to us. In John 8:32 is a great place to go. And there's so much more scripture that can come out even with that. But for the sake of time, we'll look at this principle of John 8 and verse number 32. Now, I want you to know that the Bible is going to correct you this morning. So be ready. Look at John 8:32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. How many people say that? As I told you before, Brother Mike Kelly explained this to me better than anything. You know, he and I used to go in the prisons of Salt and Pepper. There was a hip-hop girl duo, and we're not going to just let them steal this idea. We're Salt and Pepper. As you know, well, I'm tan because I'm living in Florida. And Brother Mike was dark chocolate. One of the best friends I ever had in ministry. When everybody else kept David at arm's length, Mike said, come on, let's go. And there was one other fellow that used to go with us. And I see his face, but I can't remember his name for nothing. Anybody else do that in here? Oh, yeah. Yeah, right, Miss Margie? Right, y'all? I know I can see their face, but I... But Mike Kelly made me understand this. To set free means you can be imprisoned again. But to be made free means you're never imprisoned again. He made you a child of God. He made you righteous. He made you cleansed. He's gone to prepare a place for us. He's making. But could you imagine how good that place is going to look? Oh, my word. So with that in mind, he says here, and ye shall know the truth. God wants you to know the truth. There's only one place you get the truth from is the Word of God. And there's only one way that the truth's worked into your life is if you let the Holy Spirit work it into your life, Christian. This is why the lost man is ever searching out for knowledge but never coming to the knowledge of truth. Because they're going to the wrong places. They're going to man's philosophy. So how do I get the groves tore down? How do I get the altars tore down? How do I remove the enemy? How do I become better each moment every day? Well, it's by the truth. And you're made free from your fleshly lust. You're made free from all these struggles. That's what happens. You are now becoming different. Every human being needs to become different in the eyes of God. Now, there are some people that think that everything with them and God is okay. That's a very dangerous position to be in. So we're made free by God's truth. Now, there's just so many scriptures on that. Just so many scriptures. If you have a Bible with red letter, this is the Lord Jesus speaking. Now, I don't need a red letter Bible to understand that it's the Lord Jesus. Because if it were so, then from the beginning to the end of the Bible, it would be all in red. Because this is all from God. God wrote through 40 different writers over a 1,500-year period of a Word of God that is alive, and it all works together. Whenever man puts his hand to it, it destroys the Word of God. And if people don't believe me, compare Psalm 68:11 to all the perversions. It'll shock your world. And I'll leave it at that. You're made free by the truth of God's Word. Last Sunday, we celebrated, I did, and I believe some celebrated with me. Others I've talked to about it don't even care. It kind of hurt my feelings. 50 years of being in the church. I talked to a couple preachers this week. They didn't, I said, brother, God's been so good. 50 years ago, God sent the buses our way. Not even a praise the Lord or amen. Brother Chadina, I talked to him for about an hour. And I mentioned to him, he said, hey, I saw something about a celebration. I said, yes, sir. 50 years ago, the bus. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's my friend. He's a little bit odd at times. Pray for his health. He and Sister Denise need our prayers. He's retired up in Big Rapids. Now, why you would go north to retire, that's my opinion now. Miss Margie said, oh, and I have no doubt of the beauty that's up in Central Michigan. Amen. It's beautiful up there. Beautiful in the UP. But wouldn't a warmer climate? Okay, I'm just going to go on. Pray for Brother Chadina. as we pray for Brother Mike, great friends of this church, but always over the years have been such a help to us. And I thank the Lord for that. Over time, truth makes you free. We were talking a little bit about, man, I'm so glad they gave us Little Debbie cakes on the bus. But the bad thing is they gave me an addiction. Actually, I was probably eating Little Debbie cakes before they ever gave them to me. Amen. And the bus picked up Michelle. She's a pretty girl, the neighbor girl. And Dolores still lives beside Mom right there in that house. And for years, Dolores would not go to church. The last 10, 15 years, she's been going with Mom to church, taking Mom when Mom needs to. Now, you know my mom, she's rough. I'm going to drive myself there. Yes, ma'am, that's up to you. Of course, I don't think most of us in here would be the same way. With my knee, I refuse to go up and down on that chair, okay? Even the first Sunday I was back, I walk the steps. The Word of God makes you free.
Yes, it does.
The Word of God takes the shackles of sin off. The Word of God, and there's a lot of other illustrations. The Word of God straightens your walk. And if your walk is straight, people will want that walk. There's a friend of mine right now that is miserable. And he's that close. That close. I'm hearing things out of his mouth that have blessed my heart lately. I was helping him with a couple things, and I love you, man. Just out of the blue. Well, buddy, I love you too, man. But I ain't holding your hand. But it did. It just come out of his mouth. And I appreciated that. I have another friend that he's a drunk. And by the way, if you're not friends to drunks, how are you going to see drunks saved?
That's right.
If you're not going to be a friend to sinners, which by the way, King Jesus said he's a friend, and the greatest friend is the one who lays his life down for a friend.
Amen.
He gets loud and obnoxious. Not a mean drunk, not a happy drunk, just an ornery drunk. And I'll say to him and call him by his name and say, God bless you. Love you, buddy. Love you, preacher. That's what the world needs. They don't need the bat of condemnation coming down them. And that's how the Word of God makes you free. Now, I don't have no problem when they bring up certain things. Yeah, there's a real hell. Well, I'm probably going to split it wide open. You don't have to. Well, I'm probably already condemned. I was at one point too. And you get opportunities. If you're praying and studied up, you'll hear certain little statements come out in people's, and then the Lord will give you the right words to say with the right amount of compassion, mercy, and grace. The truth will make you free. The second thing, and this is the last thing, and I'm almost done. Come to John 17 real quick. John 17 and verse 17. I want you to know, Miss Bensie, I can't do this. I can't sit here and do this. My hamstring's killing me. And by the way, friends, walking with a new knee is a learning curve.
Yes, it is.
Because the rest of your body's going to be aching because for so many years you walked and now you're using muscles different.
Yeah.
Yes, I have muscles, okay? It's not all flab. I have a few abs showing up, so I don't have an ab anymore. But look at verse 17 of chapter 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, when we started in Exodus 34, God told us to remove the enemy. God told us to destroy the idolatrous altars. We can't do them. God removes sin. God removes the desires for it. How? First of all, making us free by his truth. And secondly, by sanctifying us by his truth. The word sanctify is a big term that means separated. Come out from among them in 1 Corinthians and be ye separate, saith the Lord. He says there in a couple chapters over, he mentions such as some of you were. And he mentions some names in there. By the way, if you've offended one part of the law, you've offended the whole law. But he says, I want to sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. There's the word of God again. So how is sin removed? Well, first of all, it's removed by God. And secondly, it's removed by his truth. And thirdly, it's removed by the Holy Spirit setting us apart by his truth. I'm thankful I don't go the places I used to go. My friends have changed. Who was I talking to, Jamie? It was Josh. Josh said, you know, one of the first things I noticed after I gotten saved was my friends changed. They do, because the flesh doesn't want anything to do with God. And if you're not saved, you don't want to look into the things of God. Somebody's asked me, well, how do you know if you're saved or not? Oh, you'll know. Now, the devil, Christian, will try to get you so that you don't think you're saved, so you're living miserably. Right. And he'll get the unsaved man to think that they're okay and they don't need to be saved. Right. You and I, as believers, there's conviction. Yeah. There is a constant gnawing in your gut. Your mind says, oh, Lord, that I made a mistake there. Oh, my goodness. Father, forgive me. You know, I said, I don't know if I've done it a couple times, but there's new pains that I'm going through and struggling with, but the old pains are gone. The old pains that made my spirit wrong. The old pains that made me say things I shouldn't. The old pains of an unmerciful spirit and an unkind spirit. Are not there. Now there's new pains, and Miss Jamie will tell you, she's noticed those new pains. Last Saturday, I just had a horrible time with nerves, especially with the sciatic nerve, because I'm having to learn. I put my cane away. I think my cane's a lot of the reasons why, because if you ever notice, when you walk with a cane, you kind of move to the side the cane's on. Now there are some that have to use a cane. I understand that. But for David, I was actually hurting myself by using a cane. So I just put it aside. I might keep my cane with me just to make people feel sorry for me. I did that Friday night, didn't I, babe? And then it landed on the ground and scared everybody. Oh, there's my horse. My horse got away. I better cinch it up a little better. Every one of us, especially as we get older, we have certain pains that we go through physically. Yeah. Amen. Try not to let them hurt your spirit. And let God separate you by his truth. Forgive me, church family. There are times I get tired of you. Because you'll say certain things, and David, the old David, will want to lash out or do this or that. And even then, whether you have a bad knee or a bad back, you got to really be cautious as to how you, what you say. You've got to guard your speech and your attitude with the Word of God. And that's what makes us different. So I finished this morning by telling you how. Being made free by the truth, being sanctified by the truth. But God has to do it all. By the way, that's just out of Exodus 34. Father, thank you for the word. And thank you for Sunday school. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I went way over.